Hey guys and girls, it's Brian Wampler from Chasing Tone Podcast and some off-the-wall company called Wampler Pedals. But today we are talking about one band that's loved by most everyone that we've never been able to connect with. Talk about my brand new fancy mic stand that I got. I know, sounds boring, but just hang in, listen to it. We talk about some other podcaster stories here in the gear world, dig down, get some deep dirt on some guys. And then talk about skateboarding. Why?
Skateboarding?
I know. Why skateboarding, right? Why would I talk about skateboarding? Well, because we talk about punk bands and our favorite punk bands. And, well, you'll hear what one of my favorite punk bands was whenever I was in my youth, you know. So let's jump right into that conversation right now.
So I don't know what your setup is like, Brian, but mine, I record the voice separately and I speak to you through the phone. Just
wait a minute. So you have a microphone in front of you. You have your phone in the other hand.
Yep.
Cause we're doing this via Skype.
Yeah. Cause my internet is very spotty out here with my actual Wi-Fi connection that my computer would use, but my LTE signal is very strong. So that's why I do that.
I gotcha. No, so I am, I'm using Skype, but I have a pair of, you know, my headphones in.
Yep.
And my microphone in front of me. By the way, I want to talk about my microphone stand real quick that I just got sent by, hold on. I got to shoot a plug to them because they sent this to me. Wilesbox.com.
Wilesbox.
No, wow. WOWSBOX.com.
Oh, wow box. Okay.
And apparently, they make all different kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They reached out to me and said, hey, we listened to your podcast and want to know if we could send you a microphone stand. And I'm like, I guess so, if you want.
Like, sure.
And it's the kind that, like, attaches to your desk and it's got the swivel arm and all that stuff. It's like, it's almost like a legit podcasting stand, you know, rather than like the regular microphone stand that I used to use.
Right,
know?
Like a little table top, like one you would use to mic up an amp or something.
Right, yeah. So this is like a legit, you know, swivels around, I can move it as I'm talking type of dealio, you know?
That's kind of cool.
So I feel like Joe Rogan without the weed and without the muscles.
Well, you lost all the best parts. that's funny.
I've never been on a DMT trip, but I've been on a BMT trip, and I love that bacon, lettuce, tomato.
You mean BLT? BLT trip, I mean. I was going to say BLT.
BMT is a sandwich from Subway. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I was like, that is still a sandwich. What is that? Oh, that's funny. Never been on a DMT trip, but I've been on a BLT trip, which, I mean, like, hold the tomato, please, for me, but hey.
No, we talked about this last podcast. You're just wrong. You cannot, I mean, you can hold the tomato, but you need to hold it in your mouth with other food.
Oh, speaking of mic stands and podcasting, I started doing something a couple episodes ago. I don't remember if we've talked about it or not, but I'm down with it. Like, I see why somebody would do this, although it would make more sense if I was not in a room by myself. I heard somebody talk, I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but I heard somebody talk about how, it might have been Adam Carolla, actually, how, like, it's actually better to, and he's like, and keep in mind, I don't do this. It was the Adam Carolla show. He's like, it's actually kind of better to stand and record. And I thought about, back when I started Tone Mob, the app I use was really good at noise filtering. And so I could actually pace and, like, walk around while recording and still have decent quality. And then it changed the way it filtered noise and so on and so forth. And that's a struggle I'm still dealing with, but it is what it is. And then I found I had to be stationary, and it kind of changed how fast my brain would work on questions, I feel like. So I've taken the happy medium of standing and not walking around, and I think it's an improvement.
You know, on our earlier podcast, like from last year, We're using an app called Ringer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is an iPhone-based app. It's an app, anyways, that you plug into, and it uploads better audio quality. Anyways, and so since I was mobile on a phone and not tied to a microphone, I would, as I usually do when I'm talking on the phone, I would just, like, walk around the house and outside and go back in the house. That's just what I do when I'm on the phone. I just pace.
Yeah, which that's the app that I use, and we stopped using it for this one. I still use it for mine because it's easier for the guests.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But we stopped using it for this one because we found we could get better audio quality if we did this. So.
Right. So, but I mean, if you listen to the old podcast, like you'll hear like my door squeak, like the door hinge squeak, and then you'll hear birds in the background for a minute, and then I go back inside and you hear doors shut and stuff. And so listening back to it, I'm like, ooh, that sounds horrible.
I think when Josh Scott came on mine, I think he like filled up some coffee. Or something.
And you're like, are you using the restroom?
I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm getting some coffee or some water or whatever he was getting.
I did a video show, like a YouTube video thing. It was a live video stream with Dave Friedman and Mark. Oh, man. Hazinski.
Mm-hmm.
Hazinski. It was like a 2-hour show, right?
Right.
And it was like 10 o'clock at night. I was drinking a beer or two. They're drinking a beer or two. And in the middle of it, I'm like, holy crap, I got to pee really bad. Really bad. And so.
See you later, guys.
They're off talking about something. And I just kind of nonchalantly like exited the view of the camera. And then I watched it back later. And they're asking me a question like, Brian, where did Brian go? There's nobody sitting there. Where did Brian go?
Yeah, like, you accused me of leaving the mic a few weeks ago, and I was still there.
And I came back, and I'm like, I really had to pee so bad. So this is like a live video stream, and I'm like, I had to go bad, man. Oh, my goodness. Fun times.
So
that was a fun show.
So random.
Real quick before we move on.
Okay.
I forgot to add something, that this beautiful – loving mic stand from wowsbox.com.
Mm-hmm.
It can actually be found on Amazon for like $14.99.
Oh, cool.
Dude, that's cheap for a pretty decent mic stand.
That is cheap. And probably on Prime right?
On Prime. So if you podcasters out there, like there's probably like seven of us, like, you know, it's like the 60 Cycle guys. I'm sure Dan DeLeon's, like, you guys, if you need one, it's like $14 on Amazon. It's pretty cool.
There you go.
For the other 3,000 of you, don't worry about it.
Oh, the podcast that launched 1,000 podcasts.
I don't know who that. Actually, I would attribute that to Six String Bliss.
Oh, for guitar stuff, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't discover them until after I started, but I mean, that's okay. I know they inspired a lot of people.
Yeah, 2006 or 7 or whatever, whenever podcasts actually started becoming, you know, a reality in the guitar world.
Mm-hmm.
I was, wiring up pedals, listening to Six String Bliss. And I was on their show recently, actually.
Oh, they are coming back. They made an announcement.
They came back. Yeah, they came back. I was on their show, and it was kind of surreal because, like, I'm like, I used to listen to you guys whenever I was just getting started, you know?
Okay.
And I'm like, hey, you guys remember that time when I sent you an email asking if I could be on the show and you told me to go to... No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Okay, so that's cool because this came up a couple weeks ago. I had... So we're talking about gear podcasters. I had Cole Duke from one of the hosts of the Gear Slum podcast come on. They stay on topic, just as much, if not less, than we do, which is a wonderful thing. But and we were talking about Six String Bliss because neither of us were sure if they had came back at that point. They made a big announcement and kind of poked a fun at 60 Cycle guys a little bit with their announcement that they were returning, and then it kind of went dead for a while. So good to know that they are actually coming back. That's cool.
I think I'm trying to look up now if they have posted anything. I know I recorded a show with them. I don't usually go back and listen to the interviews I've done, so I don't know if it got posted or not. It's kind of, I'd have to be really egotistical to go back and listen to my own interviews. Like, ha, I'm funny. Well, you
know? I don't know. I've listened to a couple interviews that I've done just simply because I want to make sure I didn't say anything too stupid. And then
No, I've done that. I'm talking about purely from an entertainment perspective.
Oh no, it's miserable.
I've done that. Like, oh, how stupid did I sound? Oh my gosh, you know, I was barely awake or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've listened to a couple, and it's just like, oh man, But I think everyone feels that way pretty universally, hearing your own stuff.
It could be. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know in the podcast world, but I have known some generally lower level, I say lower level, meaning not like mainstream, artists who, you know, throw in their own music in their car and they're like, we rock. And I get it. I mean, that's cool. There's stuff I've done before that I'll throw in the car and listen to, but that's not on my main playlist, you know. My own songs I've recorded.
No.
I don't know. But I think that may just be a me thing.
Well, and it's, I don't know. I can relate to that in some ways. Like on my band's album, I prefer listening to the songs that aren't mine. Because like Leon and I basically split the songwriting on that. And so I like to listen to his songs better than mine. So.
No, I get that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, imagine if you wrote, recorded, and played on your own song. It's you singing and everything. Like you made 10 songs and it's available on Spotify, right? Now imagine making that playlist and that's all you listen to because you love your own stuff that much.
No, not a chance on this planet. I don't want to hear myself that much. That's crazy.
I couldn't do that because I don't like stuff that I write. I don't look at it. I don't look at it as a form of entertainment for me. It's more like a vehicle of expression.
Yeah, it's like I had to get that out of myself.
Yes. Yeah, it's more like therapy. And it's like recording a session with your therapist.
This is
great. I'm absolutely nuts.
And it's not that if I didn't like the material I was putting out, I wouldn't put it out. I do like my stuff that I write that's kind of out there to it, but I don't like it like I like other people's stuff, you know. I wouldn't put out for public consumption something I thought was just garbage, so it's, you know, right. I think it's objectively okay, but it's not like it's not my favorite song or something, but I guess there's probably some egomaniacs that did write their own favorite song. I don't know.
Probably so. Hey, speaking of favorite songs, guess what I did this week?
You freaked out about the release of the brand new album, like me and everyone under 37.
The brand new Justin Bieber album? Do what?
No, the band is named Brand New.
The brand new what?
That's their name, Brand New.
No, the band is. I got to hang out on stage with Warren Haynes.
Who?
Warren Government Mule.
I'm joking. I'm joking. That's pretty cool.
Dude, and I never met him before, but I've kind of gotten to know his tech a little bit, just in like the Instagrams and Facebooks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they're in town. He's like, come on out. And unfortunately, like I had like the parent-teacher conference thing, so I couldn't actually go to the concert, which really sucked because I've always wanted to see Government Mule. Mm-hmm. But, you know, kids, Trump concerts. Anyways, so they invited me out for, you know, to hang out, sound check, meet Warren, that sort of thing.
Somebody get that sound bite. I heard that Brian wants to go to a Trump concert.
No, Trump. I'm not even touching that. That's the best way to. That's the best way to eliminate
Joshua. Joshua, get that soundbite. Trump concert is where he wants to go.
No, Government Mule. That even sounds like. Anyways, so I mean, if you didn't know, like the slow distortion was. That was my attempt at like a Warren Haynes sound, right? You know what I mean?
No, I didn't know that.
Because, yeah, it really was. That's why, that's the mid control, because the Warren Haynes plays a lot of mid-heavy guitars. And so it kind of has a certain sound, plus he has a certain touch. But, so, you know, I met him, super cool guy, super great band. and they're sound checking. So I'm like sitting by Warren's amps, right? Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, like, I just heard the tech before Warren came up. He was testing everything, making sure everything sounded right. And when they do that, they're playing through the rig. And I noticed this with Brad Paisley too, when the tech plays his stuff. Mm-hmm. It sounds good, but it doesn't sound like what you're used to. It doesn't sound like, it's not the sound. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, that's cool. Warren Hain gets on it. Literally, the first, he hit one note and just a bend with the perfect vibrato. And I think my, I can't say this because this is a kid-friendly podcast. Let me think.
Your brain melted.
My brain melted. Yes. And I'm like, holy crap, in a hot bucket. That was freaking amazing. It was just it was that tone that, you know, you hear like on, like, my favorite stuff is deepest end recordings. Mm-hmm. And it was like that tone, but all around me. And it was just, I was even telling the tech, I'm like, this is so surreal because, like, it's so, like, it sounds big on the record, but it's gigantic sitting here in front of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and you just realize that it doesn't, you could take the exact same thing, put it with one guy playing some stuff, and it sounds good. Give it to the guy that makes it sound like it sounds, and it's a whole different thing.
Oh, 100%.
You know, that's the tone is in the fingers thing. But it was just so, I can't, like, I told someone else, I'm like, it was magical. But that doesn't, it was a religious experience, magical. That's, it was just so, I've literally been at a loss for words to describe it. The best way I can say it was completely magical on the highest degree I can fathom.
That's pretty crazy. There's only a handful of musical moments that I can think of that fit that description. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was humbling. It was very humbling. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I mean, here we are. We all chase tone, right? We all buy this stuff to get this sound, to do this, to do that. And I hear two totally different people play the same thing, and it's completely different. Mm-hmm. It might as well have been a completely different amp.
That's pretty cool. I can't say that I've ever experienced that directly the way you have. That's pretty cool.
That's my favorite thing about going to shows. It's actually not the show. It's actually not the concert. It's the sound check that I love going to, because that's the only time that I'm going to be able to sit on. Well, not always, because I got to sit on the stage with Paisley while I was playing. But anyways, it's the only time I can sit in front of the amp and actually listen to what they're experiencing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's my favorite part. Same thing with like the Paisley stuff. I mean, I know I'd go on and off like a fangirl about Brad Paisley, but it's kind of the same sort of deal. I mean, you can play his stuff and you're like, oh, it's cool. But whenever it's in his hands, it's that sound.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Brian, because I can't play his stuff. So,
I mean, you can play his, I mean, if a person plays his equipment, you're like, oh, that's cool.
Oh yeah, it would still sound like me with my, you know, heavy-handed right hand just beating the guitar. That's all it would sound like.
Yep. And I remember the first time I was exposed to this was with Brent Mason. It's actually a YouTube video I did at the beginning of YouTube. It's like 2006 or something. You can tell because the video's very poor quality to today's standards. Mm-hmm. Back then, that was the norm because, you know, we all weren't carrying around high-def cameras in our pocket. Anyways, before we recorded that video, Brent was like, all right, I'm going to, you know, hit the restroom real quick and we'll do this video. And I said, do you care if I play through your stuff real quick? He's like, no, knock your stuff out. And so I played it and I'm like, it's cool, but it doesn't sound like him. And it's a little under, I was expecting more. You know what I mean? Like I was expecting you play through the exact same thing he's playing and it sounds massively a lot like the player, right?
Right.
And I'm like, no. Guitar kind of feels like my guitar. And it sounds like I'm playing through a couple twins. Nothing real special. But then, you know, he plays it and I'm like, how, okay, what are you doing to make it sound that way.
What is happening here?
Because I just played that and it sounded nothing like it. So anyways, yeah, that was my government mule experience and my probably the end of the tone chasing podcast, since I just dispelled the myth that we should be chasing tone.
It's not going to stop me.
I'm teasing. Totally.
I'd like to try to stop me. I'm going to find this new Keeley pedal right now. It's going to fix my problems.
Well, it is. I mean, like, what else are we going to buy with our money? Taylor Swift albums? I mean, you know?
No, I'm not. I'm certainly not.
You don't know what you're missing, buddy.
I had a question and I forgot what it was.
That's a terrible question.
It wasn't a question. It was a statement. I'm trying to remember what
I got one.
You do? What?
I do. Hang on. What's one band that's loved by most everyone that you personally have never been able to connect with?
Oh boy. I've been asked this question before. I don't want anybody to come like do a drive-by shooting at my house though, if I say this. So I'm a little bit concerned to put this out publicly again. Now I should preface this with, I appreciate it and I like playing some of their songs. I understand where all the praise comes from, but I do not enjoy sitting down and listening to the Beatles.
I would have to agree. But before anyone kicks you, where it counts, I would have to say that I agree with that. Actually, Max and I had this conversation a long time. I mean, not on camera or, recording it, but we had this conversation a long time ago because he's a huge Max. Let me preface. Max, in case you're new to the podcast, was on the very early episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, for the first however many, like lots.
101.
Yeah.
First 101. So Matt, yeah, he was a huge Beatles fan. I just couldn't connect with them. Sgt. Pepper's was the only album that I approached like kind of a maybe I get it. Other than that, never a big fan. But I would like, normally my stance here is to be kind of tongue in cheek and say something like Luke Bryan. I can't do that anymore because a friend of mine named Jason, his name's Jason, plays for Luke Bryan now. And I think Jason listens to the podcast.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean.
Are you serious?
Yes. And so, Jason, I love you.
I'm sorry.
I met Jason in Key West like in 2009 or something, whenever he was playing in like a traveling bar band or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, congratulations, dude, because like now you're playing with a big name act in front of thousands of college girls, right? College and teenage
I'm
girls.
I'm sorry.
Probably.
I'm just imagining like Luke Bryan listening to your impression of Luke Bryan.
What the heck? I don't sound like that, man. I don't sound like that at all. I don't have that kind of voice at all. Hey, do I sound like this jerk on this podcast?
And then he probably wipes his tears away with $100 bills.
No. Whatever. Yeah.
Anyway,
sure he's not struggling to pay the bills.
No,
so.
No. So anyway, that's it for me. I mean, I really like Helter Skelter. We play it with my band, and that's one of my favorite songs to play. And I
the Motley Crue version was my personal version of Helter Skelter. You probably never heard that. I'm 43 years old, so like Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil album was like I grew up playing guitar to that.
No, I've heard it. It's just not. It's funny that we all got, see, and this is why I understand why it's so inspirational and I really do appreciate the Beatles and I really do like a lot of their songs, and it shows how good of songwriters they really were, because you got the Motley Crue version. I really enjoy the Thrice version of Helter Skelter. So that's, you know, it's just like shows how good of songwriters they really were. So
I'll give you that. Yeah, definitely good songwriters. But I mean, so I'll put it this way. I listen to a lot of music, of course, because I'm stuck in a room all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall a time I've ever searched on Spotify for Beatles.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I have for reference points, but not for, like, I want to listen to this right now.
Yeah, I mean, for recreation.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to, and I'm sure there's other bands that I would be probably nearly crucified if I mentioned. But let me think of another good band who I just never could identify. You know what? I'm gonna make so many people hate me.
Uh-oh.
But 90% of what Radiohead puts out, it doesn't resonate with me. Now, let me say, I respect it because I can look at it from an intellectual perspective and say that's a well-written song.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel anything from it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get entertained by it, or it doesn't move me in ways that it does other people.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I can sort of relate. Got to remember, when I was growing up, it was like everything had to be, for the most part, like punk rock or metal and like aggressive, like, yeah, for me to like.
Well,
I
used to be heavily into Black Flag, big time into Black Flag, TSOL.
I didn't know you were
so
a
much
Black
Sex Pistols.
I didn't know you were a Black.
I was a huge, well, keep in mind, I was a skater through my teens, man. So yeah, I was all about Black Flag, loved all the Black Flag stuff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Here's got the 10.5, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that. I didn't know you were a Black Flag fan. I knew you liked some other stuff.
Oh yeah, but like a night. Like my favorite. I can see the album cover. I can't remember the name. I heard Annihilate this week.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm 13 years old or something at this time, and I'm like, that moved me. I'm like, yes, I get it. Yes. And you know, I listened back to it. At 43 years old, it doesn't have the same effect. But I think we talked about this a podcast or two ago, where it takes me back to being 13. And I understand it from that guy's perspective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I can still listen to it. It just, I'd have no reason to like kick a hole in the wall anymore.
Oh, no, yeah, me either. And I never actually did. But for some reason, like,
I had nothing bad against, any people involved in my life, but I had a bit of a rough childhood. So I was angry for part of my life.
Well, I'm sorry.
So, well, I mean, let me sit on the couch and we can dive down and talk about why, but I'm teasing. But, yeah, I mean, so like a lot of that punk scene really resonated, and the skateboarding scene was kind of built around punk and not like rap like it is now.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
So it was a whole different scene, and it, you know, like that's what we would do. We would listen to a lot of like old school punk like that, and we'd skate launch ramps all day long.
That's, you know, that's cool.
Because there were no skate parks. I mean, I built my own half pipe. And so I had a lot of people that lived here in town would come out. Well, I lived out of town, but they would all come out to my house. And so my parents would come home from work and there'd be like 15 guys skating my half pipe. You know, my parents were like, why are all these people here? I'm like, because I have the only half pipe within 50 miles of here.
Yep, exactly. It's kind of an interesting thing because, like, basically the same age. Except skateboarding was becoming, it got kind of its like second wave or third wave. I'm not sure which wave it was, but a new wave of popularity when I was basically the same age. Mm-hmm. And it was still mostly punk, but there was definitely the hip hop elements were starting to come in. But it was this weird time when I was like 13 to 15 of, or maybe 12 to 15. Of skateboarding just really blowing up. Like Tony Hawk got really famous for the video game, mm-hmm. his pro skater video game came out, and X Games was like at their peak or seemingly at their peak. And so it got really popular to skate then. And I started skateboarding. And it was kind of funny because like my city is kind of like, you know, it's seemingly kind of like a more conservative kind of suburb type city, but they financed they voted to make a skate park in one of the local parks. There's a pretty nice skate park here in my town that was built around that time, and oh yeah, it was a huge thing, and that's kind of part of what got me into punk was definitely the skateboarding. I'd get these skateboarding magazines and I'd see these bands, you know, advertised in there, and I'd be like, huh, I wonder who that is. And I'd have to go search it out. You know, that was, this is sort of like, this is like internet at its infancy, as in we didn't have it. Like, my parents didn't have the internet, and only like one or two friends did. So you couldn't just go search it. Like, you were literally going to the store and searching for it, like physically.
Right. Right.
So, but I remember, like I've said a million times, like Thrice is my favorite band. First time I was ever exposed to them was through a magazine ad in a skateboard magazine. So, it's weird how those, for a sport, like I can't think of very many other sports where music is so important to it.
Yeah, it's a huge part of the culture, you know? Yeah, and I understand things change. This is my old man grumbling right now. The old man part of me grumbling about how it used to be better back in my days. But I don't, like, to me, the whole rap genre around skateboarding just doesn't fit nearly as well as, like, the punk bands did. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that has to do with our backgrounds, because, you know, punk rock and some of the more aggressive forms of like hardcore and things were the kind of angry white kid music of the day. Well, and skateboarding was kind of the, you know, rebellious, you know, angry white kid thing to do. You know, instead of like being on the football team, you were a skateboarder, you know, and you listened to punk rock. Well, I think, what I've seen, especially starting kind of when I got into skateboarding, now I'm speaking from an outsider's perspective now, because I haven't skated for 15 years, but,
I got a funny story about that, but continue on.
But, what I'm seeing is like, I'm seeing a lot more diversity in the sport than there was like probably back when you were doing it.
And everyone's way better. And you know what I mean? Like even like the novice amateurs are doing like these crazy kick flips. I'm like, I tried to do that for months and couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Now
you got this 6-year-old kid doing like this 360 kickflip off this curb onto a handrail, you know, and you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. But I was more speaking like racially and culturally, there just seems to be more diversity in the sport than it's not the angry white kid thing anymore. Now it's just a thing that kids do. And I think we just see a lot. And from that, you know, they're going to bring in elements of their culture. And a lot of that happens to be hip hop. That's my theory anyway. I could be wrong.
It could be. I mean, you know, music has changed a lot. But so real quick about the skateboarding thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my son is 7 years old. Not now, but I mean, at the time of the story, 7 or 8. And we go to a skate park in Greenwood, Indiana. Which is, at the time, was the closest one to us. And, you know, like, I still, like, just because of me being me, like, I still have skateboards. You know what I mean?
Right, I do, too. I still have my best skateboard. And,
so, you know, rocking the old Steve Caballero Pal Peralta
nice.
Here.
Nice.
And who plays guitar? Steve, call me if you need anything.
That's right, he does. I forgot about that.
He does, yes. Mm-hmm. He's never asked. If he asked me for a pedal... I'm stumbling with my words. Like, I would be starstruck with Steve Caballero.
Steve, holler at your boy.
Okay, so anyways. So, you know, we take skateboards to the park. There's all these, like I said, 6-year-old kids doing 360 kickflips onto a handrail, you know, crazy stuff. And there's a 4-foot half pipe. And I'm thinking, dude. Like, I had several half pipes. I had 4 foots, I had 6 foots, I had 7 foot at one time. Like, I got this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not really taking into account, I was like 37 years old at the time. So I drop in on the 4 foot. I fall all the way down my tailbone, like...
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, holy crap, this feels completely different than what it used to feel
this
like.
This hurts a lot more.
Because in my head, like, I knew exactly what to do. It was no big deal. You stand on board and you drop in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently my balance had changed in the previous 25 years.
Now you're making me nervous, because, like, this is the Chasing Extreme Sports podcast. I through skateboarding, I ended up getting into snowboarding, and I turned it out. I wasn't ever very good at either of them, but I was much, much better at snowboarding, for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be a pretty decent snowboarder, and we went all the time. We had season passes and went to the mountain just after work and just constantly going for, you know, a period of 5 years or so. And my wife and I have been kind of itching to get back to the hill. But we haven't done it since we've been married. So it's just been a long time.
Wait, your wife is a snowboarder?
She skis. She can snowboard, but she doesn't really like to. She likes skiing better. Yeah, I think that's more of a thing around here. Like, I know.
Yeah, well, see, we don't have that big of hills here.
Yeah, we're just right by Mount Hood. So, like, it's more of a thing. Like, it's like, yeah, my wife skis, and there's lots of, like, I would say probably most of the ladies in my family either ski or snowboard or know how to ski or snowboard. Maybe they don't do it on a regular basis, but they know how and have done it before. Anyway, we've been thinking about going back, but your story just freaked me out because this is something I've been thinking about. I'm like, I want to go really bad, but I'm going to want to do what I used to do, and I can't do it anymore because A, I haven't done it in over 10 years, and B, I'm like 50 pounds heavier. So I'm like worried about like it hurting
way
more.
Start out slow. Start out on like the kiddie slope. Start out slow, and you'll work your way up there. I'll say this. I totally screwed up on the half pipe dropping in first time, right?
Right.
But, so I kept on skating around and was skating up. There's like a little launch ramp type thing. So I continued skating and like I got a little more accustomed to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say like you will get that. In fact, there were some kids who were like, dude, I wish my dad skated. That's when I realized I was now an old man.
Oh, man. I'm not looking forward to when that happens. That's going to happen. I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, it is. You just wait. You just wait. Now you're a dad. Your son will be growing up and you'll be like, son, here's your first snowboard or skateboard. Mm-hmm. You'll go to a park and they'll be like, who's the old man skating?
Yeah. I'll be like, oh. When am I going to become the dad rocker? Like at some point I'm going to be the dad rock guy. Like I still consider myself to be fairly young and like, you know, playing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like the flame bowling shirt guy, but at some point that's going to be me and I won't even realize it.
Yeah. I wonder about that too. Like how many, I guess maybe I am. I am. I just don't worry about it because I'm not like other dads. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm a cool dad.
Okay, so like my daughter goes to, I know Hank Jr. was there. I forget who else. But it was a concert last night.
Nice.
And so she goes there and she's like, dude, one of the crew is wearing a Wampler shirt.
Nice.
And she's like, this is just weird. And so I'm telling her, I'm like, I've tried to explain to you in my world, in like guitar pedals and stuff, people know that name. It's a brand that people know. But, you know, to them, like, I'm not anything special at all. Not that I am special. I'm just saying, like, I'm just a normal dude, like a dad, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's sometimes it's a little surreal until they're like, hey, Luke Bryan's coming to town. Can you get us some tickets?
And you're like, I don't think you'll let our family come to the show anymore.
And I'm like, let me give you a preface of what this is going to sound like.
Rain is a good thing. Hello, girls.
All right, end the show.
Why would you want to go to a concert when I can just show it to you right here?
Let me grab my guitar. I'll show you exactly how this works.
No. You can't have a guitar. Somebody else has to play it.
No, I need a guitar. I just won't play it.
Okay.
Jason, I'm sorry. Please tell your boss that I love him. He's fantastic. And yeah. All right. So, and that's 30 some minutes of rambling at this point. How do you want to wrap this particular?
I don't know, Brian.
So we've talked about one band that we've never been able to connect with. My fancy schmancy mic stand. Different gear podcaster stories and skateboarding and punk bands.
Oh, sorry, guys. I mean, we do our maybe best, next, but
I got the perfect way to wrap this up.
Okay.
Maybe next time it'll be better.
Yeah, right.
So thank you so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. If you have any questions, you can always email me at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Now, if you don't want to email me, I get it, but really, I like to hear your feedback. So please email me thoughts, concerns, questions, desires, you know, random senseless stuff. That's totally fine. If you want to email Blake by chance, you know, Blake, if you want to, info@tonemob.com is his email address. Again, appreciate your listening. I would love to hear your thoughts on these podcasts in general, because these exist for you. We do them because they are fun to do, but we do them because, you know, you guys like to hear about gear stuff. And we like to talk about gear stuff, but we also talk about other things, as you can see. And if you've heard any of these podcasts besides this one, you know that it's kind of a random assortment of things. So anyways, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.